Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am the unexpectedly loud Joe Screbbles. Simon Cardy, can you speak this week?
I feel better. It's going.
You're still
out.
Croaking.
No, I'm still croaking. Oh, what's it's gone. That's weird. It is weird. I was perfectly fine before I started speaking.
You weren't perfectly fine because we've all been talking about
it. I was better than this.
You should go to the doctor.
It's okay.
I don't know what's wrong with my voice because I don't feel ill at all. It sounds okay now.
Do we have doctors listening? IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com.
What could that be? I don't really have a sore throat at all. My voice just keeps going if I speak over a certain volume. But it's okay now.
Shout.
Shout. I'm not going to
shout.
Do
a shout. Away from the mic.
What do you want? I can't just shout.
Shout, I don't know. Shorty.
What?
Yeah, like T-Pain. Do that.
Nah. What about Shabba? It's gone. It's absolutely gone.
Shabba.
I went for Mr. Lover Lover.
That's really good. And joined by...
I couldn't do that, though, could I? I went completely.
Erstwhile podcast Jesus. Companion Alex Simmons.
Hello. I don't really know how to follow that up, to be honest.
You haven't been on since Red Dead.
No, it's been a while.
A long old time.
It has, yes. And what a fucking shambles it's turned into.
It's just this. This is it for the last 2 weeks.
Good God.
We can't even get three people together who have their voice anymore.
that's how low on people we are in the office. Yeah. We are out of people in the office.
Yeah, everyone's away.
Why are they all gone away
everyone's
from
either
us?
Either jet-lagged or away or having fun and we're sitting here.
What do you mean we're having fun?
How are we?
I built some labo this week. That was good. But I won't talk about that. Well, let's talk instead.
Why aren't you talking about that?
I don't know. I could do. But let's talk about Spider-Man instead, because we've all played that.
We have all played that. I finished it a couple of days ago.
And the main reason we put this on here, because it has been out a little while, is because the only time we've ever talked about it on the podcast was me kind of shitting on it a bit.
Yeah.
Turns out, it's fine.
I enjoyed it. It's a good game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a solid 7 out of 10 game.
Ooh. Well, no, I think you'll find it's an 8.7.
Well, for me, it's a 7. It's fun. It's just repetitive. I think it's your worries have kind of been validated.
Right.
That it's at times nonsensical while you're doing some of this.
Mm.
And it's a repetitive fight.
It's a superhero game. Who cares?
Yeah. But then I feel
I'm going to come to its defense.
I think that's absolutely fine.
Well, I'm coming to its defense as well because I feel like the combat is very repetitive. But I feel like also I adore the Arkham games, but that is the same combat
it's
over
exactly,
and over
yeah.
again.
Yes. I think a lot of the criticisms...
A bit of a kind... I
would say that a lot of what people like about the Arkham games is the structure of them.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man doesn't have that structure.
Well, I would say is the Arkham games nail boss fights, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas the Spider-Man one is just the same fight over and over again.
Oh.
There's no Mr. Freeze fight.
So I'm going to fight Fisk again, am I?
No, but it's the
same. No, I know what you mean. Yeah,
wait, I'm being a tit. I'm not going to spoil it. You could do.
Okay, don't spoil that. So, anyway, I'm only about 10% in, according to my save, and I haven't really been doing that much, but I'm just enjoying swinging around the city.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of how I played Assassin's Creed 2 a lot, in terms of going out and finding all the towers and all the secrets, and then the actual story itself is secondary. Same with Far Cry 3, I played a lot like that.
Oh, yeah, I think Far Cry 3 is the sort of... archetype of that little open world thing, isn't it? It's where it started all of this.
I agree. I enjoy doing that, but the thing with Spider-Man is there's only about 8 of these towers and there's like nothing defending them. So there's no real challenge to it. You just go up there, press a button.
But isn't that kind of the point with it? Like, isn't the idea with Spider-Man that it's just fun to get there? It's not that it's a thing to do.
For me, I mean, I enjoy the swinging. I think it's very fun.
Yeah.
But it, to me, even that does run out of enjoyability, just swinging around. I did... eventually start using
enjoyability.
The fast travel system.
I thought you were coming in saying that you love this game and you're shitting on it more than
good.
I did.
I think it's good.
Go back to the Far Cry 3 point. The thing I loved about Far Cry 3 was taking out like the lookout posts and stuff like that and not going in guns blazing. Is the equivalent in Spider-Man from my limited playtime the construction areas?
Yeah.
Because the thing I there doesn't seem to be any particular kind of different method of doing that. It's just you've got to take out five waves of bad guys or whatever.
Yeah, I like
that. Does it get more sophisticated than that or not really?
Not really. But the annoying thing I find about this, you can be as stealthy as you want at the start, but whenever wave two appears, it just triggers and they see you
straight
away. So
that's
you can't do the whole five waves stealthily. It will just automatically find you and turn it into a brawl after one or two waves.
Didn't you say there was a really good stealth section later on where you're like doing something in tandem with MJ, maybe?
That bit's quite good, yeah, because you actually feel like...
Is that the museum?
You're a team. No.
Or the auction?
No, there's a bit later on.
Right, okay.
Where they're basically... It's the one time they're actually used in the same scene.
Right.
And like you're kind of almost using Spider-Man as a drone, almost. You're like pointing, like, take them out for me so I can move.
Oh, there. That sounds quite cool.
Yeah, that bit's cool, but it happens pretty much once in the whole game.
Right, I see. I found out two good facts about Spider-Man. One, the man who plays Spider-Man is called Yuri Lowenthal, and he keeps having to shout his own name at another character, Yuri Watanabe, who is played by his real-life wife. So that's a good little sequence of facts. And another thing I found out is that the backpack thing that we spent a long time taking the piss out of on both this and our unofficial preview is built into the lore of the game.
Oh, I know.
There is lore reasons for why he has 50-something backpacks hidden around the city, which is apparently the Fisk Foundation gave him a load of backpacks.
He won the lifetime supply of backpacks.
I must have skipped that because I did not.
It's completely insane.
It makes no sense why they're still stuck to walls.
But it is crazy that you've got people defending saying, well, look, he's won the lifetime supply of backpacks. But still, you wouldn't have 50 of them. Like, I've probably gone through about 10 in my lifetime.
I think they're taking the piss at some point if you go, like, can I have my 34th backpack?
Well, that's
they're
it.
Like, you don't need that.
Imagine they're like, you've won a lifetime supply of backpacks. Like, got him. Yeah, what a little dick. You only ever need one.
Yeah. I feel like I've been more negative than I wanted because I do genuinely like the game. I think it's very good. I think it's a good Spider-Man story.
Yeah, let's talk about why you like it
specifically. It's a good Spider-Man story, but I'm more excited more about what the sequel might be. I think they set up a lot of cool stuff.
Right.
It's more what they allude to at the end that I like.
Oh, okay.
Than necessarily this story. There's a lot of characters and things teased.
Does it feel like it's going to be part of a universe, or does it feel like it'll just be Spider-Man?
It feels like Spider-Man.
Because that's kind of what I want.
There's not going to be any Avengers in there, I don't think.
Yeah.
There's Avengers Tower, that's as close as you're going to get, I think. Mm. There might be a little bit of crossover, I think. But the big worry for me for a sequel is, can you just... like Spider-Man is Manhattan. Can you do that exact same city again?
That's a good point.
Like, do they have to move it?
Yeah.
What if it's blown up?
Well, you could say that about Batman, though.
But they kind of moved on, didn't they? Like, Arkham City wasn't Arkham Knight. It was a different city kind. Like, it wasn't exactly the same.
It depends how authentic they want it to be. Exactly. Yeah. Yes, true.
But couldn't you just move to a different part of New York? It's like...
Yeah, but you need the skyscrapers, don't you, really? To do proper swing.
There's got to be skyscrapers elsewhere.
You can really do it.
You can swing across Central Park. No skyscrapers on Central Park.
I always try and go round Central Park because it's an absolute ball.
It's annoying because you have to like swoop all the way to the floor, don't you?
Yeah.
No, easy.
What a drag.
Do you know what was a pleasant surprise, though? Spider-Man can swim in this one.
Oh, yeah.
I was really scared of falling into the water because I'm conditioned to think falling in the water, automatic, just like swing back to land.
Yeah.
No, you can actually have a good swim.
And you can find the boat people.
That is weird.
The mutant boat people.
I hadn't seen this until it popped up on our... Oh, no, you showed me it. But it's on our... I think it's on our homepage at the moment, if you're listening to this on Friday. There is some weird NPCs on boats you can get to quite easily on the map. And for some reason, if you've ever... There was a really good article that went around a while back about all the mutant people in Forza Horizon 2 that watch you in the crowds, because obviously at a distance it looks fine, but when you get close you're like, oh my god, they're fucked
up. People,
And the people on boats Spider-Man...
It's hard to describe what they look like. Their faces have faces. They're like geometric shapes.
Well, it's like they're stretched around a square or something.
Yeah. Imagine if you took your own head and then widened it and turned it into a cube, but the nose is on a corner.
Yeah.
It's just flat-faced,
terrifying.
Freakish, like triangle people. Yeah. It's like Hellraiser shit. It's so good. I love finding stuff like that in games. It's really fun. Yeah. I don't know who found that on our stuff, but...
Fair play to them.
I hope they get a bloody raise.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Spider-Man. Although, actually, we haven't talked about photo mode, which is incredible.
It's a pretty game as well.
It's really nice.
I do find it weird, like Dale pointed out, that there's no day-night cycle, which I do find weird.
There's no cycle, but
There are things that take it, but like...
This isn't a spoiler at all. It sounds like I'm very emotional about this, but...
It does sound like you're really into it.
Yeah. sorry. There's no day-night cycle, but... After you've completed the main campaign, you can actually manually change it from day, night, or dusk.
Exactly. Yeah. It would just feel more... It would be amazing to watch the sort of sunset and Manhattan go from day to night and watch the lights flicker on. Because, again, it looks great in the nighttime and all the different stages when the different missions trigger that. It just feels a bit weird for an open world game of these
There's
days.
There's one section where you have to play and it's just raining and grey. And like, I don't want this.
What is the...
I want sun.
Well, there was another open world game that did this, where it's like it's controlling the passage of time so that it makes sense as a story.
Right.
Yeah. I can't remember what that was. It came out not long ago. But it's really, like, that is an interesting choice. Like, they've done that very clearly on purpose, but in a way that doesn't really make sense. Because, like, I'm guessing their reasoning is we are constraining Spider-Man's time to however many days across the story.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't make sense because then he's spending... whole sections of days literally just swinging around finding backpacks.
Also, I think people would be quite forgiving of that because they are with every other single game like GTA or something. You know, you could wait for days between one mission to the next, but you're not actually thinking that. It's like, we've got to go and do a bank robbery tomorrow. Oh, shit, it's 3 days since we've missed it.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying the internal logic of it.
Yes.
I see why they tried that, but then it creates its own problems anyway.
Do you think they tried it, or do you think
they... I think they did. Well, okay. Why else would you do it? I suppose maybe controlling atmosphere, but then, like, you can do that in GTA by just what they do, having it go up to the sky and the clouds go by and then it's nighttime.
Fast forward or whatever. Yeah.
So... I don't know. It seems weird to me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a good game. And it turns out, who would have thought, I'm not very good at actually praising something.
Weird.
Listen. Wow.
But yeah, photo mode's wicked. That's all I had to say. There was also a weirdly, unexpectedly packed Nintendo Direct last night.
Yeah, we were expecting not that.
I really thought it was just going to be, Civ 6 is announced, City Skylines is announced because they already announced those when it was delayed.
A good 10 minutes online as well, and that was about 1 minute.
Online service, Splatoon. That's kind of all I thought. They announced Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yep.
A new Animal Crossing, although that was just Tom Nook looking at a computer being weird. Yeah. Just loads of things.
Tons of stuff. And we've got to be very excited. If you get the online subscription, you can play Mario Golf.
Oh, yeah. The good
NES
stuff.
I played that so much when I was about 5.
Are you going to get those NES controllers that you can plug in on the sides?
I'm very tempted.
Are you?
Because it feels really weird to me to play those games without that controller.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really?
I struggle. It's a little segue, but I played a bit of Mega Man 11.
Oh, yeah.
On a PlayStation 4 controller. It just felt weird to me.
Really?
Yeah.
When was the last time you played it? A Mega Man game.
Probably almost 20 years ago.
Oh my God.
Like Mega Man 2 and 3, I played a ton when I was like 6, 7.
Those are hard games.
Yeah, and I was good at them. And then I played Mega Man 11 the other day and I was awful. Turns out it's quite hard, Mega Man.
It does look like an absolute nightmare. I've never enjoyed Mega Man for that reason.
And that's why although I like the look of Cuphead and saw your anguish playing it, I won't play it.
Did you just say? Something of anguish?
Your look of anguish.
Oh, your look of anguish. Right, yeah. I was could not understand. You said Cuphead and sour sort of anguish. Mega Man games, are they?
I thought the Famicom controllers look nice. The Japanese
they
ones look
are really nice.
But I do hate the way they hang over the top of the Switch.
They look strange, don't they? Just make them a little smaller. They wouldn't.
Like big flaps.
Have they confirmed whether you can't actually use those for any other games?
I doubt it.
I wouldn't have thought so.
But it would be very strange. It's like when they they accidentally enabled GameCube controller support without realizing they'd done it.
Oh, did they?
Like a while back, there was a really good quote from Reggie where he was like, "Yeah, we were surprised as you were," because people worked out you could plug them in. But the controller mapping was all wrong. So, people were playing Zelda but finding out none of the buttons made sense like that, which was really funny.
Sell me on Animal Crossing.
Sell you on Animal Crossing.
I've never played one.
Me neither.
It's a really hard sell because a lot of people, I imagine you would hate it.
I was going to say, deeply. I think that entire direct was not for me.
Really? Yes. Even Luigi's Mansion? We'll get onto that.
All right, yeah, exactly.
But Animal Crossing, I mean, it is just a game in which it's surprising it took them as long as it did to make it into a mobile game because it's a prototype for how mobile games work. It's just in the old days and on consoles, the currency you use in those things instead of like unlocking stuff is just time. Like you wait days to do things and do the same thing every day and meet people that are like, yeah, I'll do something for you in a while. And you're like, how long? I'm not going to tell you.
This sounds laborious. And like,
oh it is laborious, but it's entirely about the charm of it. I'm like, there's not really much that compares to it because it is a life sim in as much as a lot of the time you're not doing anything beyond just like watering plants and things, and it's just lovely music and nice people, and it's just sort of an escape. Like,
is this the first time that the characters have had voices?
No, they've always had those mad...
Oh my god, Tom Nook's voice just went straight through me.
I love like, those voices.
If it's that for days on end, count me out.
You won't like it.
No, I could just tell. Just watching that 1 minute trailer, I was like, what?
Is that the most exposure to Animal Crossing you've ever had?
Yeah, well, apart from hearing other people's stories about it, when I was just looking at them, thinking, what the fuck?
I know my sister loves it on the DS.
Yeah.
So
the one on 3DS, I think, is an actual masterpiece. But the moment you actually try and explain why that is to someone, they go, well, that doesn't sound like a video game. And you know what? It isn't. It's just, it is entirely built around being a nice place to be.
Right.
And if you're not into the idea of just sitting there and enjoying a place, then it's not going to be for you, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just like, I want to meet all the villagers, and I want to become friends with all of them, and like design little things, and it's just, it's more a creative space than it is
It does sound a like
game.
A good 20 minutes on a train Switch game.
Oh, it's perfect.
But that's, I love Zelda for that reason, though, because Hyrule was one of those places that I wasn't actually that fussed about going to do stuff.
You're
I was just like, hanging out.
You're not growing plants.
But so, I think that's the thing. Hyrule's a nice place to be, but you have there's a sort of immediacy to your connection to it. Like you're doing things to get around it. Whereas Animal Crossing is a flat space full of people that you talk to. So it's a different sort of spending time. I do think there's a comparison to be made about how Nintendo makes worlds.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is about just making it a pleasure to get around it
and
see things in it. And those two things do match.
Yeah.
But not for you. But Fair Luigi's enough. Mansion. You don't like Luigi's Mansion.
Well, I didn't really gel with the first one on GameCube. It was GameCube, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It's that launch title.
It. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just think it's really shallow and not a lot to it.
The first
I just
one,
don't see what everybody goes on about.
The first one, I think, is built around... The nostalgia for it is built around the fact that it was a launch title and it was the GameCube, and people have very fond memories of the GameCube because, like a lot of those consoles... Like, I have the same thing for the Wii U.
Yeah.
I inordinately love the Wii U because people didn't, and because I liked it, that's pushed me further. I'm like, no, it was good, and here's all the things that were good about it.
Yeah.
And I think people do that for GameCube as well.
Right.
And I think Luigi's Mansion was Nintendo messing with their own... Like, it's really one of the first times they did, hey, we've actually got characters people like, instead of just games that people like. And so it's them messing with your sort of nostalgia for that. And... I think that's what I think a lot of people are going to go back to the one coming out on 3DS, the remake, and go, "Oh yeah, Luigi's Mansion 2 is way better." And that is the point.
So
Luigi's
why
Mansion
is 2
is
way
so
better?
Good.
What did that add?
Because it's essentially like it's hard to explain because it's sort of partly a puzzle game and partly an action game, and it's got sort of slight Metroid-y elements in that you're kind of learning how everything works and fits together, and you're earning abilities and learning how enemies work all the way through, and then going back and doing things again and learning a space. So you've got this series of mansions. It's not just one place as well. So it's a much wider game than the original was.
Yeah.
And they nailed the feeling of like sucking a ghost into a vacuum really well. It feels amazing to do it.
Right.
And
just like it does in real life.
And genuinely, like HD Rumble is going to be amazing on that game. Right. Like the feeling of and something popping in is going to be incredible. Yeah. Have either of you played the Luigi's Mansion arcade game?
No.
No.
Oh my god. Like the feeling of sucking a coin into a vacuum cleaner that you're holding in your hands is one of the best things that I've ever experienced.
Wow.
I know, I'm a
Can't
sad man.
Can't you just
man.
Do that at home?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Hoover up coins.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound that hard.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah. Most people have vacuum cleaners and coins.
It's an expensive hobby.
Ghosts, look at you. Someone's earning. Got coins around, have you?
Do it with buttons.
With but buttons. The thing is, just pull all the buttons off a shirt.
You can just open up the bag and get the coins out.
I would say I've got more coins than I have buttons.
Well, I know what I'm doing tonight, guys. You've sold me on it.
What a Friday night.
But yeah, I just love Luigi's Mansion 2. And if it's... I don't think they said who's making, but if it is Next Level who made that one, again, I'm completely sold already. Yeah. Just looks lovely. Mm. It's such a good place. I also want to point out the City Skyline trailer. Did you see it?
It looked very foggy.
Dodge. And it just looks like it runs really badly.
Yeah.
And all the reports coming out today are, it runs like shit. And I think it's actually amazingly laudable of whoever put that trailer in to go, you know what? We're not going to lie. We're not going to put footage of the PC version in here.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you're like, ooh, that game doesn't work. Like, fair play, you're advertising the product you've released.
Well, that's weird.
But I think that's insane.
It's not bullshots or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see how Civ 6 works.
Because
that's a game I've downloaded on PC a while ago, and I think about three or four times now I've like started a game and been like, I'm going to get into it this time. So I used to like games like that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I'd get like an hour in and I'm like,
I
can be bothered to learn all this.
I played hundreds of hours of Civ 4 and haven't played properly since. So I think Civ 6 is either going to be a game I play an hour of or it will destroy my life in the way Football Manager does.
Yeah, I can't have Civ and Football Manager in my life at the same time because I literally will.
You will perish.
To work. Yeah.
You won't have any.
That'll be it.
It won't matter. You won't need to speak anymore about your voice. Can be as croaky as it likes.
Yeah. You can't command armies if you can't speak. But I go with the scientific approach.
It's not voice control.
I'm all about culture, me.
What was that voice-controlled strategy game that they released on Xbox? Is it like Raze? Oh, it had a four-letter acronym name.
Yeah.
And you had to like shout at your planes and stuff.
No, was it Ubisoft? Did
Ubisoft do it?
It might well have been Ubisoft. That sounds right.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That's weird. Mm. You'd be bad at that.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm normally... The thing about me is...
What is the thing about you, Simon?
I just love to chit-chat, and at the moment it's causing me pain.
He's just chit-chatting way too much.
Pain, well, it's just caused me anguish.
It is, and we're all anguished and about you.
God.
Will you be replaying any of the Final Fantasy games from 7 to 12?
I would say
12?
Replaying or playing for the first time.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Final Fantasy 7 is another one of those games I've started about four times.
I've never played it.
Yeah.
I started playing it on PS1. And I didn't see what all the fuss was about. Again, not my kind of game.
Yeah.
This was
do you
not...
like games?
I do. It's just none of these. The thing that I was most excited about was cloud saving through the online service, but we knew that was coming anyway. So
again, the cool thing about the way they presented that in the Direct is that they went, Final Fantasy's coming to Switch. And clearly, a load of people's hopes would have shot up at that point.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Chocobo
one.
Dungeon, Pocket Edition of 15, World of Final Fantasy, and everyone's hearts at that point is just like, oh, fuck, so I'm getting all the shitty spin-offs. And it's like, by the way, 7, 12, 10, 10, 2, and 9 are coming.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, they've done this on purpose. They've actually fucked with me. Like, I'm into it. I did try restarting Final Fantasy 9 on Vita a while back, and it was not a fun experience.
Well, that's
despite it being one of my favourites.
I firmly believe that games of the past should stay in the past. Because
unless they do the Shadow of Colossus thing.
Unless they do that. Because most of the time, they just don't stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Like Ocarina on 3DS was decent.
Actually, that was really good.
And Ocarina Remake was good, I thought, for Wii U.
Yep.
I don't think that was... Maybe it was... I don't think of that as an old game, but actually it really is.
It is, isn't it?
It's just really good.
That's the beauty of Zelda. It's timeless.
It is. You're right. Except the first one, which is dog shit.
Which isn't good.
But that's like, so, because I bought the SNES Mini purely because I thought, actually, I'm going to really enjoy playing some of these old games.
Mm.
And I've played them all once and just thought, I just do not need to play these. Exactly.
If the 64 one does come out eventually, which it probably will, won't it?
Yeah.
I will get that because I never had a 64.
Well, a tiny little N64 would be sweet. Imagine a tiny little GameCube.
I would love it. A tiny little GameCube. I'd wear it on a necklace. I'd have the little hook at the back.
Relive those good Mario Party days.
Oh.
I hope the new one's good.
It looks okay.
Yeah.
It's always the board game that's the problem, though, because they keep trying to reinvent how the board game works, and it's bollocks. So that'd be
I'm
nice.
Looking forward to that.
And that is the Nintendo Direct. I feel like we've talked about everything in it. Wait, we haven't. We haven't talked about, in the Japanese Direct, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is coming to Switch by cloud
streaming
version.
That looks like another game that won't work properly on that.
Well, like, I haven't heard enough about the Resi cloud version they made. But I seem to remember people saying it's not easy to run.
Right.
Like, I think you have to have crazy good internet for it to work.
Right.
Like,
for a game you want to play on the go as
this
well.
This is kind of, that's the thing. It's like,
I mean, yeah, console even.
Unless the Switch is your only console, which, let's be fair, for a lot of people that will be the case.
Yeah.
It's just hard to empathise with, because why wouldn't you own them all? Jesus.
Wow. That's from a position of privilege, isn't it? Right there.
Hey, I've paid for all my consoles. I'm not giving them. It's fine. I'm just a big nerd.
I think there was a monster on the one sitting at your desk.
Oh yeah, but that's for work.
Okay.
That was sent to work.
Enough.
I'm not gonna if I left this job, I'm not gonna go, that's mine because I've used it the most.
And the TV.
That desk's mine.
We can't do that.
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry, mate.
Well, I'll never leave them.
Yeah, you better say. You decrepit, still choking on your own voice at 70. I've still got it. It's mine. I just can't see why you'd want to play it on a Switch.
No.
Just seems mad. Bring out the old ones. I'll play two again on a Switch. I'd love that.
Yeah.
There you go. Nintendo Direct.
Good.
I hear you've got a game for us, Cardi.
It's another one. It's another one of my incredible.
That took you half an hour to put together.
I wouldn't say that long.
All right.
What's it called? That's it. It's
what is it called?
Another game of Higher or Lower.
Okay.
It's more just to point out some tat, really.
Yeah.
Do you want to give some background?
Death Stranding's a game that might come out at some point.
Who knows?
Yeah. And Kojima Productions, which is a brand built on nothing.
Yeah.
Apart from a name.
They keep releasing. Keep releasing merch for it.
They've released dozens of pieces of merchandise for a company that's not made anything and a game that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
But it's Kojima.
And I was looking on their site. It's pretty much all sold out.
So, is it?
Yeah.
Even the
new
stuff.
It's reserved. A lot of it's reserved.
Oh,
a lot of this is
no.
TGS exclusive stuff.
Oh, I see.
People love it, honestly.
Yeah. It's mental.
So, for example, here's the example, because Joe's already seen this one.
Yes.
There's a Death Stranding Bridges, which is a company in the game.
I think they're either the company or they're the country. Like, because it says United Cities of America, so I think that might be how the world's evolved in Death Stranding.
There's a Bridges business card case, which is like a metal case for your business cards.
Yep.
How much do you think that is in pounds?
Ooh.
Imagine the size of a business card.
Yes,
and a little metal case.
Does it say what kind of metal it is? Is it premium metal or is it?
It looks fairly well made, but
it's
just a case for some business.
I know,
cards.
But the merch that they created around Metal Gear 5 was insane. Like the watches they did, and like the Puma shoes.
This is just
the
a
motorbike.
Metal case for some cards.
All right, 10 quid.
A motorbike.
£88.
£8.
Well, that's got to be made of silver or platinum or something. That can't just be metal.
I think
I don't know.
A best deal.
A best deal?
Yes.
Wow.
So going on from that, we have the Death Stranding Fragile Express, which I believe might be the company.
Oh, I think that's the company
the guy's walking around
Reedus
in,
is working for, yeah.
What a game, eh? An iPhone 7 case, also steel, made from the same
metal.
Out of
date?
Made of steel.
Made of steel.
Yeah.
An out-of-date phone case.
It's an iPhone 7 case. This is brand new, announced today or yesterday.
That's what, 3 phones old?
Yeah.
Soon will be, yeah.
Well, so maybe there is an added value for that, because it's a phone that you can no longer buy.
It's retro.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you can return that phone that you can no longer buy.
In steel.
Yeah.
That says
also,
fragile.
I don't
on it.
Understand how a steel iPhone case works, because you need flexibility there to pop the phone in, right?
Maybe it's not steel.
I don't think he's thought about this. Okay. Kojima,
maybe
I mean, not you.
Maybe it's a soft metal.
All right.
I like to think that Kojima's personally designed all these things.
Am I able to see it, or does that give it away?
No, you can't see it. I haven't gone that far.
So do you know this? Or
I don't know. This is know. So okay. Higher or lower?
Higher or lower than £88.
Well, it's bigger, isn't it?
It is bigger.
Actually, do you know what? Scrap it. Let's not play higher or lower. Let's play whoever's
guess
closest.
The price.
Okay. Yeah, because that's more fun, isn't it? Is it?
I'm going to go for £92.
Ooh.
I see. I would have gone previously. I'd have said no more than £25, but I'm going to go for 109.
Oh, it's 81.
81.
So yeah,
less than the business. I suppose in Japanese culture, they prize the business card.
But yeah, 81 for a phone case for a phone. Can you buy that phone for £81 now?
No, definitely not. Have you seen how much iPhones cost?
Yeah. So here's saying, along the similar lines, for an iPhone X, a Kojima production-branded leather case.
Leather?
For an iPhone X.
Is it real leather?
I think so.
I want a skin. I want skin on mine.
So yeah, it's a leather case branded with Kojima Productions and his little logo.
Is it made in conjunction with anyone? Because obviously he does a lot of that stuff.
Oh yeah, is it Diesel?
Exactly. I don't think these are, no, these are just...
Oh man.
Is that going to be more or less than steel?
Leather or steel, the eternal question.
I know.
I would say it's classier.
It is classier.
But is it more expensive? That's the big question.
It depends.
That's not the game.
I know that.
I'm going to do it again. £102.
Ooh. Right, okay.
Oh, wait, it was 92 before. 102, I'm going higher.
No, it was 80 odd.
It was 81, the last one.
Oh, no, my last guess
it's
was
92. It's not lower anymore.
Yeah.
Let's end this.
All right. 110.
Oh, it's £95.
Oh. £95. You've spent £999 on an iPhone X, SIM card free.
How about a Kojima Productions logo branded money clip?
What's that made out
of? Who's buying this? It's metal. A little metal money clip.
Okay.
Who needs a money
15
clip?
Quid.
I'm going to go...
I know it's going to be more than that.
60.
It's £30.
Oh!
For a metal clip.
Yeah, for one small metal clip.
I think it comes in a nice little case.
You could double it for a tie clip, maybe.
It's insane, isn't it? The Kojima Productions branded Parker pen set. You get two Parker pens.
Well, Parker are
expensive. Yeah. Mm. What are they made out of?
Well, they're metal pens. I don't know. Ink.
I'm going to say... Because you've gone first twice, so I'll go first.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
I'm going to say £187.
£400.
Oh, Christ. It's only 84. Still for two pence. I'm sure they're very good quality pens.
They are. I've used a Parker in my time.
So two pens are cheaper than a business card holder?
Shit, they are. That's mental.
Yeah, that is insane.
But do they come with the patented quink?
Sorry?
What's a quink?
I think quink is the ink they use.
Is it?
Oh, I might be wrong. I'm going to look it up.
Quink.
Okay.
Quink.
I'll move on to the next one. So, a Ludens brand. So, Ludens
The monkey thing.
That space monkey thing?
That big astronaut.
He's just a skull in an astronaut suit.
I thought it looked like
a
monkey.
Is he a monkey?
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, maybe I've gone wrong.
He's a
monkey.
Thing. I don't know what he really is.
I thought it was a space monkey.
But Ludens, so it's a picture of him, that astronaut, on a hand towel.
Who on earth is buying that?
Unbelievable. Can I just point out, Quink is a fountain pen ink developed by the Parker Pen Company.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but I bet they weren't fountain pens. I bet they're biros.
Oh, yeah, that's a point.
Hand towel.
Hand towels.
With the astronaut on.
With the skelly astronaut.
So you can just remind yourself every morning, the game is coming.
Oh, so wait, are we talking hand towel like a tea towel or a flannel?
I think like a hand towel.
One that you'd have in a downstairs toilet.
In your bathroom?
Yes. Yeah.
In a downstairs toilet. Never upstairs.
One you'd use to dry
You would have a normal towel upstairs, wouldn't you?
What? If you were fancy, you'd have both.
Okay, no, we're not fancy.
I use normal towels downstairs just to show my way.
A bath towel.
I haven't even got a downstairs or upstairs.
That's some tire in it.
Hand towel.
£45.
13.
Eight. Only £8. Oh. Quite affordable if
bonus.
You're into that.
I'm going to buy that. I'm going
to
get...
Fly to Japan to buy it.
I know we've got some colleagues out
there. Yeah, we have, yeah.
Could,
mass order.
Get me a hand towel.
Business card holder creeper.
Yeah.
Expense that.
Yeah, don't tell him how much it is. Mate, I really want this. Could you get it for me?
A Kojima production branded fridge magnet.
A fiver.
Ten.
£6.80.
Oh.
Like, who wants this? I'm sorry if you're listening to this going,
everything.
Why am I getting all this?
I honestly, if you were there, £6.50, I don't think that's bad. I think 80 odd quid for a business card holder is insane.
Yeah.
And you've peaked, unless you're going to come back with something
else
big.
Is completely
There's
insane?
Last one.
Okay.
Some damaged sensor tape. It's just a piece of yellow tape.
Yeah.
And what does it say?
I think it's used in-game, like... they must use it in game because I have no idea where it's from.
How big? How long?
I think I've seen it.
Just like a roll of tape.
Yeah, reel of tape.
I think it's a roll of tape. Yeah. Okay. I remember Kojima tweeted a picture of it before out.
I've seen pictures of it.
The game.
A yellow bit of tape.
It's just some yellow tape, you know, like police warning tape.
£15.
I mean,
are you using? I don't know who's using this.
I'm gonna go 40.
It's only £11. Oh, it's only
Tate
Joe.
I don't know.
Well, the way you pitched it though, it's like
you've absolutely.
But yeah, you can buy all that for about £400.
Wow.
And yeah,
if you've got an iPhone 7 and an iPhone X,
you can have all that or the next console. You'll be able to buy that game is actually on.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Good luck to you.
If you're a freak. Got some feedback now,
So first piece of feedback is from Bruce Harrison, who says, towards the end of episode 450, you were swapping stories about celebrities you'd seen out and about in your day-to-day lives and the ironic situations you found them in. Michael Palin looking lost, for example.
Yeah, that's pretty good, that one.
So back in the summer of...
Michael Palin's story, actually.
All right, well, let's read Bruce's message first.
I'm cutting in now.
Is this what it's like?
No, it's not even that good. Oh. End it.
Go.
No.
I'm sorry, Bruce.
Carry on, Bruce.
Right. He says, back in the summer of 2008, a friend and I spent a week in London. As we were walking along Shaftesbury Avenue, we saw Chris O'Dowd walking along with a film crew doing some sort of documentary. They were having technical difficulties with the camera, and although we weren't following too close, we could see Chris getting very frustrated.
So from far away, someone being really frustrated, what's that? So it's like him like throwing his arms about.
Maybe.
Just going, whoa.
Whoa. So anyway, for some reason, his stupid teenager brain thought it would be a great idea to shout out, have you tried turning it off and on again in a really shit Irish accent?
Oh, God. Oh.
I know, right? In his defense, Bruce. The IT crowd was peak popularity at the time. So he doesn't know why he was expecting Chris to find it funny, but all he got in response was a very deadpan glare from across the street.
Oh, that's so brutal.
So he remembers walking away thinking Chris was a bit of a moody prick, but now looking back, he realizes he was the only prick in that situation, which I think is fair.
I think that's very big of him to come out and say.
Well done, Bruce. You're a big man.
You're a big prick.
Yeah, but I mean, that is a good rule.
No, he was a big prick. Yeah. Not anymore.
You're lovely now.
That is a good rule in life. Never say someone's catchphrase to them.
Oh, no way. Why would you? Like, even going up to someone and being like, I loved you in... Like, I couldn't.
No.
Because what if they hated it?
Yeah.
What if they were like...
Some people probably love it.
Except...
Do you run that risk?
I would tell Stephen Berkoff that I loved him in Beverly Hills Cop, but that's the only person I'd do that for. Because it's so out of character. Yeah. But it would be great.
Okay.
I've got a little compilation of movie props that people want.
Ah, lovely.
So Dan Smith says, surely the ultimate film memorabilia is Wilson from Castaway.
That would be good.
Imagine having that dude giving out good vibes in your home.
I reckon I can make my own.
Yeah, well, he actually says that. Despite that, if you don't have the money to buy him at auction, you can make a cheap, dirty replica with your own bloody handprint and a volleyball.
Yeah.
It's fair play.
Would you use blood or would you use paint?
I'm an authentic kind of guy, so I probably would at least use pig's blood.
That's a good call. Wow. I haven't seen Castaway for a while. Does Wilson's bloody handprint face like degrade over time? Does it go brown and crusty?
It does a bit, yeah. Okay. I haven't seen it in a while.
I hope so. Zemeckis is a slave to realism.
Yeah.
Here's one someone actually owns that is definitely of interest to Cardi.
Yeah.
Christopher Vindiola. Regarding the discussion on your most recent episode, I have one of the bowling pins from There Will Be Blood. I live in Kern County, California, the setting of the movie, and was lucky enough to win it a special screening held at the local history museum in the summer of 2010. In order to win, I had to compete against five other contestants to be the first to drink an entire milkshake using a large straw in homage to the classic line from the film. That's amazing. I swiftly gulped down my shake as well as each of the other contestants' shakes to be easily declared the winner.
That's just greedy.
Well, he drinks your milkshake. The attached photo, which we can't show you because it's an audio podcast, I don't know if you know, shows my victorious moment in the Bakersfield Californian, our local newspaper, which is amazing.
Yeah, I've seen the photo and, well done, you've made me ridiculously jealous.
But the prop he actually would love to own is Pee Wee Herman's legendary bicycle. So
how about if I can find a little bicycle, we can do a little swap?
You could do an online swap.
We can't just
swap.
Find a little bicycle. It needs to be the proper one.
Do you need a certificate of authenticity? If so,
I would.
I'll make one for you.
I reckon we could quite easily dress up Rory to look like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
I think
Pee
he's
Werman
got
creeps me out.
Yeah, he's one of those people that's famous in America for reasons that don't make sense over here. Yeah. Much as I imagine, until recently, people thought about Jimmy Savile, like he was well loved over here.
I think actually, Pee Wee does have some sort of stuff.
Whoa,
no, he doesn't.
Hey,
that's proven.
Stop.
Let's look on Wikipedia.
If I remember correctly, he was caught masturbating in an adult theater, all above board. And that might be wrong as well. Allegedly.
That's what you want from your child entertainers. That's fine.
That's fine. That's just jerking your gherkin. Okay. Everyone does it, baby.
He does creep me out a bit. But I remember as a kid actually enjoying one of the films. I can't remember which is. But yeah, in hindsight.
But as a horror film.
Yeah, it's quite terrifying.
Justin McConnell closes us out with the correct answer, which is, I would take the rubber ball from The Prestige and fuck you all for not thinking of it, you human garbage. Which, fair play, we didn't think about it.
I'd still rather have the actual Tesla machine.
The actual Tesla machine would be good. Yeah. If you had to have the big triangular box to get it delivered to you, that'd be great. Mm. Close us out, Cardi.
I've got a piece of feedback from Lewis Glover. He says, hi, guys. He actually says, hey, so I've misquoted him there. I've just seen an absolute banger of a thriller film called Searching, starring John Cho.
Harold, out of Harold and Kumar?
I believe so. The reason I think I liked so much is because I never saw the twist coming and had no clue how the film would end.
Is that the thriller where it's all on a desktop computer?
I believe it is that one,
I think it is that one.
I've heard that's actually, surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Do you see it? Was it Unfriended?
Yeah, I never saw Unfriended.
That was meant to be quite good.
Apparently the second one's good as well.
I might get on those, Joe.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
Should we watch them together?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, cool. Most films I can usually predict what's going to happen at the ending. Humble brag there. But
that's pretty,
fair enough.
That's big talk.
But this blew me away. So it got me thinking of some films where I never saw the twist coming. The only ones that came straight to mind were The Usual Suspects and, of course, the all-time winner, The Prestige.
Correct.
So I'd like to know what some of your favourite thriller films are and where you never saw the twist coming. I was having to think about this. It's hard because in hindsight, I can't remember if I did see them coming or not, especially films I've seen multiple times.
Yeah.
So I think one... The Village, which does have... Mm-hmm. I really like The Village. I think it's an underrated film. And that twist, I can't believe I saw that twist coming.
That twist is really mad.
It is insane. I don't think there are many clues towards that.
No. But that's the point at which, like, when does a twist become unfair?
I don't think that's unfair because I think it genuinely makes the story really cool.
Okay.
I don't think it is out of the blue, but it is warranted for the story. It's
that's
not just,
fair.
You never saw this coming.
Yeah.
Similar one, the first time I saw Saw, the first Saw, right at the end, that twist. I still think the first Saw film is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant film. And that twist right at the end.
That's a really cool idea.
I'd not seen a twist like that before.
Literally hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
Because it's very good.
That is brilliant.
We should say the spoilers and that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not actually listing
Saw.
Yeah.
It's the...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert
for
Saw.
For Saw.
Of 2001 film or whatever it is. It's Jigsaw's the dead body, isn't he?
Yeah, in the middle. So the guy who's made the trap is actually in the room the whole time with them.
Right.
Just having a little sleep. Yeah. It's really weird.
It's improbable, but brilliant.
Oh, it's very good.
And the last one was Mulholland Drive, just because that is a mad film, and it takes about 4 watches anyway to work out what's going on. So no one's getting that first time round.
It's like Primer. You've got to give it a few watches.
Things within things. I've only ever seen Primer once, and I didn't really like it.
It's worth watching again.
Yeah.
It is, because when you realise like how many different timelines are at work within thing, it's very good.
Yeah.
The only one that comes to mind for me is a film I haven't seen, and yet when I heard...
So you didn't see the twist coming?
But when I heard what the twist was, you're like, yeah, that's the maddest one ever. And that's the romantic film Remember Me, which it turns out at the very end is set on 9/11 and Robert Pattinson watches as a plane flies into the building.
Oh my God.
It's completely insane.
No, I haven't seen that one. I was lying.
Early appearance of Meghan Markle as a bartender in it. So there you go.
Research.
Her Royal Highness.
Exactly.
So sorry,
gone into
the
great
whole
things.
Film...
The whole film... Well, the film ends.
Yeah.
When Robert Pattinson is up the Twin Towers on 9/11 and he just watches the plane flying towards him. It's very strange.
Weird ending.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, That's a twist.
I suppose, yeah.
You never saw that coming.
So do you actually know he's in the World Trade Center?
Like, I don't
they
think...
establish that, that's where he is?
I actually can't... Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've just watched that clip and gone, I can't believe this is real.
I'm going to watch that clip now.
Because I remember when it came out, everyone going, you will not believe what they've done in this film.
Wow.
Yeah, that does sound insane.
Mental.
You got any, Al?
Not really, after that. There's a film called Sixth Sense. I think that's got a twist in it. I can't remember what it was, though. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's all the IGN UK podcast you're going to bloody get this week.
There's a twist for you.
Yeah, exactly. But if you've got any twists, film props, celebrities, or other general things.
Anything you want.
I really like
about,
it when
really.
People like Lewis Glover emails in with a nice observation or point of interest and then ask the question based on it. It's really good.
It's lovely.
You can be a good boy like Lewis Glover by emailing IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com. Mm. It's an unwieldy email address, but once you get the hang of it, it's there.
Oh, it's
there. It's
fine. It sticks with you.
It's all good. And until next week, adieu, adieu.
Adieu.
Goodbye.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.